Today's shir, Mitzvah Shem, B'Messiah Masecht Nedarim, is Daf Tzadik Aleph Masecht Nedarim. And we will begin on Daf Pei Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom, Amar Rapapa. So Rapapa teaches us, Badak Lon Rava. Rava asked the following question. Eishes Kayin Shenensa. If the wife of a Kayin was violated, and as we said in the previous shir, the halacha is that if the wife of a Kohen was violated, she may no longer remain married to her husband. The question is, yesh laksuba in laksuba. Is she still entitled to receive the ksuba payment or not? Do we say, kiven da oynes lagab Kohen, ratzayn lagab Yisrael, ein laksuba? The halacha is that if a Yisrael's wife had a consensual adulterous relationship, she becomes osa to her husband, and she doesn't receive the ksuba payment. So therefore, the halacha will be the same. The halacha will be the same that when she has the eishes kohen is the same, that she doesn't, since she can't remain married, she also doesn't get the ksuba payment. Oidilma, or perhaps Matza Amalei, the wife could tell the husband, Anoha Chazina, I didn't do anything wrong. It's Gavra who did Nestap Chesedeyu. It's you, the Kohen, that the Torah gave the Kohen a din, that he's not allowed to remain married with his wife if she was violated. And therefore, it's your issue that I am not getting the Ksuba, that I may not remain married with you, and therefore I still am entitled to the Ksuba payment. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. There is a Rimi Gash that explains the Gemara in the following way. The way do we look at this woman? Do we look at this woman as a woman that's still able to get married? Because another Yisrael can marry this woman. So since another Yisrael can marry this woman, she's still entitled to the ksuba payment. Or do we say that since another Kohen cannot marry this woman, therefore she's not entitled to the ksuba payment? And in answer to this question, they said, Masnisenhi, we really find the answer to this question from our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, Haimeres, if a woman says to her husband, Tamei Anilach, I am Tamei. So the Mishnah says, according to the Mishnah Rishayna, as we learned yesterday, a woman has a right to come and tell her husband, I had a relationship, and the husband has to divorce her, and yesh lo ksuba, but she's entitled to a ksuba payment. So the question is, b'mayis kenen, exactly what is the situation that the Mishnah is referring to? Ilei me'eishes Yisrael, if we're referring to a woman who's an eishes Yisrael, and she comes and tells her husband, I had an adulterous relationship, ibaratzen, klum yesh lo ksuba, is a woman who had an adulterous relationship entitled to a ksuba? She's not entitled to a ksuba if she had it willingly. Even though the Mefarshim point out, when we learned Masechta Ksubas, the halacha is that if a woman was captured, she is still, the husband has to free her, has to pay to free her, even though we're concerned that the husband, that maybe she was violated, and that halacha even applies by the wife of a Kohen. So we see that Ksuba doesn't necessarily travel together. So the Mefarshim explained we can't bring a raya from the situation where a woman was captured, because there we don't know for sure that the woman had relations. There's only concern that the captors, that the kidnappers, didn't treat her properly. Here, we're dealing with a situation where the woman knew what she was doing. There's an interesting Rabbi Kivega says, why didn't the Gemara say that as a possibility in the Mishnah is that the woman had a consensual relationship, but she says she didn't know that a married woman is not allowed to have relationships with another man. And why doesn't the Gemara say that that's pshat in the Mishnah? Says Rabbi Kivega, from here we see, la locha lemaisa, that if a woman had a married woman had a consensual relationship with another man, and she says, I didn't know it was usher, she's still usher to her husband. And that's why the Gemara couldn't set forth that as a possible explanation in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shlomo Kluger, as we finish the Masechta, we have to mention all the different Mefarshim that we discussed in our Masechta, mention them at least one more time. Rav Shlomo Kluger asks the question in the Nidre's reason that why can't the Gemara say that perhaps the case of the Mishnah is that the woman says she had relations with another man, but she doesn't remember if it was ba'aynas or baratzen. She doesn't remember if it was consensual or not. So the Nidri's reason says, and we're going to use this concept, that, and the Gemara says this in a few places in Shas, that when a woman, Rachman Salon, is violated, there's a kol. People are aware of it. It's not something that's done without there being noise about it. So the fact that nobody is aware that she was violated and points us to believe that if she says she doesn't remember, but no one else knows about it, it must have been Baratzen. And in fact, the Mefarshim ask, why is there no concern here of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha? How could a person walk in and say that I had a consensual relationship and be believed, according to the Mishnah Rishayna, and lose her ksuba, where she's saying that she did something so terribly wrong, having a relationship with another man? So Mefarshim explained that as far here, it's referring to Dinei Mominus. It's referring that if the woman comes in and says that she had a consensual relationship, she should lose her ksuba. So it's a Dinei Mominus issue. When it comes to Dinei Mominus, we believe a woman, and we believe the person, and there is no concept of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmei Rasha. In fact, the Rambam says the Halach L'maisa, even though according to the Mishnah Achrayna that we learned in the previous year, that women are not believed to tell their husbands that they had a relationship with another man, because we're concerned, Shema Nasna Iner Ba'acher, maybe she's just using it as a way of getting out of the marriage or marrying someone else. She is believed to the extent that she loses a ksuba. So she ends up married to the man, but she loses a ksuba because based on what she said, she doesn't deserve it because she had this relationship. So if the Mishnah is referring to Eishes Yisrael, Sibir Ratzah Klum Yesh L'Ksuba, why would she get a ksuba? So that can't be the woman the Mishnah is referring to. And E, B, Einis, Mikot Itzra Gavra, if she was raped, a woman, Eishes Yisrael that's raped remains with her husband. Doesn't affect the marital status. Ella, what is the case of the Mishnah? As we explained in the previous year, the Mishnah must be referring to a situation of an Eishes Koyim. So again, Ibaratzen, if our Mishnah is referring to a case that it was consensual, again, Klum Yesh L'Ksuba, just because she's an Eishes Koyim, she still doesn't get the Ksuba. Mi Goro, Meishes Yisrael Baratzen, just like a wife of a Yisrael, if she has a consensual relationship, loses a Ksuba, the same as with Eishes Koyim. Elalav, our Mishnah must be referring to a situation that it was Ba'aynis. And what does the Mishnah say? Tani Yesh L'Ksuba. So our Mishnah is a clear proof that a wife of a Koyim who was violated, that the husband has to divorce her, is entitled to the Ksuba. There's an interesting shaila in the Achrayim. What's the halacha if a wife of a Kohen was violated, that we learned now that the husband's supposed to divorce her and give her the ksuba, and before the husband actually divorces her, she has a consensual relationship? Does she get the ksuba or not? It's actually a machloikas Achrayim. What is the question based on? So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky explains that the question is as follows. Why is this woman entitled or not entitled to the ksuba? Do we say that any woman who did something inappropriate consensually loses the ksuba? So then this woman did such an act while she was married. She had consensual relationship with another man. She loses the ksuba. Or is the vart that she made herself usur to her husband? She didn't make herself usur to her husband because she was already usur to her husband from before, and therefore she is entitled to the ksuba, and I said it's a machlekes achrayim. The focus of our Mishnah and Gemara has very much been on the woman. Meaning if the woman comes and says that she had a relationship with another man, does the husband, is she believed, does she get a ksuba, etc. But the Pais can point out that bizman hazeh, there's questions that come up as far as the man is concerned also. Because the Paiskim discuss, the Shulchan Aruch already discusses the situation that our Mishnah tells us that if a woman comes and tells her husband that I had an inappropriate relationship, the husband doesn't have to believe her. Shemin Nosnei Nebacher. We're concerned that she just using it as a way of getting out of her marriage. But let's say the husband does believe her. He says, I do believe her. And I know if she says so, I believe her. So the halacha, as the Shulchan Aruch says it, the Rishonim already say it, the husband has a right to believe her. The Mishnah is only teaching us that he doesn't have to believe her, but he's allowed to believe her. However, the Mefarshim point out that b'zman hazeh, where we have a cherim de Rabbeinu Gershim, maybe the husband should not be allowed to believe her. And they point out two reasons. One part of the cherim Rabbeinu Gershim is that a husband is not allowed to have two wives. So it could be the husband is saying, when his wife comes and says to him that I had an inappropriate relationship, and he says, I believe you, and we need to get divorced. It's not because he believes her. He just really wants to marry someone else. He never had a way of getting out of the marriage. So now he's using frumkeit, that I believe you, to get out of the marriage. Because otherwise he can't marry a second woman. So it could be, the Ramah says, that nowadays that we have a Chayim Rabbeinu Gershim, even if the wife says that I had an appropriate relationship, the husband doesn't have the option of believing her. Or another shailah that comes up. The halacha is, after we have a Chayim Rabbeinu Gershim, that a husband is not allowed to divorce his wife bal karka, against her consent. So again, a wife tells her husband, I had a consensual relationship. The husband says, I believe you. I'm going to give you a divorce. She says, I don't want to get divorced. According to the Mishnah, they don't have to get divorced. He's saying, no, I want to get divorced. And if you don't want to get divorced, I'll force you to get divorced. Is this enough of a reason that his believing her when she says she had the relationship, that it could give her a get bal karcha? Neither be who to discuss with the shayla. It's a shayla if the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershim applies in this case or not. Ibayilhu asks the Bnei Yeshiva the following question. Amr labala, a woman comes and says to her husband, Gerishtanu, you divorced me. I lost the get. I lost the bill of divorce. But I know you divorced me. And the husband says, I don't remember. Mahu, what is the din? Amr Rav Hamnuna, Tashema, Haimeris Tamei Anilach. We learned in our Mishnah that if a woman says that she had an inappropriate relationship, that filu a Mishnah Chorana Diktani Loi Mehemna. A filu, even according to the Mishnah Chorana, that we say we don't believe her because we're concerned. Shema Nesna Nebenecha Hasam Hu Mishakra. You know why I don't believe her? Because we're concerned that she's lying. The Yada, the Bala La Yada Ba, she knows that she could get away with a lie. Her husband can't dispute what she's saying. Avagav Gerishtani, the woman who comes and says to her husband, you divorced me. The Yodaba, that she has to assume that her husband will remember, because he's the one that gives the get. Certainly, if she says it, she would never say it if it were not true. And the Mehemna, and we trust her, because Chazaka, we could assume, Dein Ishim Izabenev Nebala, that a woman would not have the chutzpah to tell her husband, you divorced me, unless she knew it was the truth. Otherwise, she cannot say such a brazen lie. There's a machloikis rishonim. How far to interpret what Rav Hamnuna says? Some rishonim suggest that Rav Hamnuna is saying that if a woman comes and says to her husband, Gerishtani, and the husband doesn't dispute her, because as we just learned, Chazaka, we could trust her, and she's allowed to go get married to another man. We could trust her, and she's entitled to get a ksuba. Duran points out that even if we could trust her, according to Rav Hamnuna, and she could collect a ksuba, that's only if she comes in and says, I want to get married to another man. She's also entitled to ksuba. So then we'll give her the ksuba. However, says Duran, if she comes in and her whole goal is to be able to collect the ksuba from the husband, then we wouldn't trust her. That's how some Rishonim explain the Rav Hamnuna's opinion. Other Rishonim don't take Rav Hamnuna to such a far stretch, and they say Rav Hamnuna is only referring to a situation where the woman already got remarried. And we ask her, how did you get remarried? So she says, my husband gave me a divorce. And she says it in front of him, so since she has the chazoka, the ain ishim, he's with Nebala, we won't make her separate from the second husband. But even Rav Hamnuna, they say, agrees that we would not allow a woman that doesn't have a bill of divorce and doesn't have a husband who's agreeing that she got divorced to go get married based just on that, l'chatchila. Rava, Amalei Rava, Rava disagrees. He says, Ad Rava, afilu Mishnah Rishonim Diktani Mehemna, according to the first Mishnah that says that women were believed, Nobody's going to say that they had an adulterous relationship unless it really happened. Aval hocha, the zimn and the takav law megavra. Sometimes the woman doesn't want to remain with her husband, and there's nothing nowadays for sure that embarrassing in being divorced. So meiza meiza. So she says I was divorced, and we don't trust her. Masa Rav Sharsha asks Rav Sharsha and Rava. It says in our Mishnah, Hashemayim beinil beinoch. In the case that we learned in the previous Mishnah, where the woman says that the husband doesn't have the ability to properly have relations with her, that according to the Mishnah Rishayna, the halacha is the mehemna, that according to the Mishnah Rishayna, that we trust her, have it to yufta the Rava. That is clearly a refutation of Rava's opinion. For, in this case, less like Sufa, there's nothing embarrassing for a woman to say that her husband is unable to have relations with her, Viktani, and yet the Mishnah says the Mehemna. According to Rava, the only time the Mishnah says she's believed in the Mishnah Rishayna is in what she said, there's a level of embarrassment. So if it weren't true, she wouldn't say it. We see that's not true. Saying that the husband is unable to perform is not embarrassing to her, and yet we see she's believed. Says the Gemara, it's not a kasha. Kesava Rava Hosam. There, she can't just say that he can't perform properly. She has to be explicit in his deficiency. If what she said were not true, she would have never said it. So must be, she said it only because it's true. Otherwise, she would never have in her the embarrassment. She can never overcome the embarrassment to say it. Says the Rajba, what's going to be the halacha if a woman comes in and says that my husband refuses to have relations with me? There is nothing embarrassing. And there, says the Rajba, the woman would be believed. And in fact, the place can discuss that a woman who comes and says my husband is not having relations with me has the right to demand a get. Says the Gemara, Hashemayim beini lebeinoch, the case of where she says my husband can't have relations, of Mishnah Achrayna to have the Yofta Rav Huna. Why is not a question on Rav Huna? V'hocha, the Yoda, he. She says my husband can't have relations with me. U'bala Yodaba. And he obviously also knows that he can't have relations with her. V'ktani, the Lai Mehemna. But according to Rav Hamnuna, wherever she knows that what she's saying, her husband does know if she's saying the truth or not. That is a proof that what she's saying is true. So why is she not believed? She's saying something that the husband is well aware of. Answers the Gemara, Ksav Rav Hamnuna hocha nami hi gufa amra. She says to herself, nami be yoda. A husband does or doesn't know if he had relations with me. But yorba chaitz mi yoda. He doesn't necessarily know how he performs. Shemachi, she's not embarrassed to lie because she doesn't think Shemachi Mishakra, she doesn't think he'll catch her because she doesn't think he could dispute her because that's not something he would know. And that's why the halacha I just said, but saying that he didn't have relations with me, that's certainly something he does or doesn't know. If we follow Rav Hamnuna's statement of Ein Ishi Me'iza B'fnei Bala, a woman will not have the chutzpah to lie in front of a husband. We will believe a woman, according to Rav Hamnuna, that says my husband's refusing to have relations with me. In fact, the halacha is like Rav Hamnuna, that if a woman comes and says that her husband, Gerishtani, divorced me, and her husband doesn't remember, he doesn't dispute her, she's believed. But it's interesting. When the Rosh quotes this psak, that we follow the opinion of Rav Hamnuna, so Al Gemara gave the reason, because ain't ishim is b'fnei bala. A woman doesn't have the chutzpah to say such a lie in front of her husband. The Rosh gives a different reason. He says a very interesting concept. He says if a woman comes to her husband and says, Tamei ani loch, I had an adulterous relationship. What is she asking? She's asking for a get. And therefore, we have to be concerned if she has an ulterior motive in asking for the get. This woman is saying gerishtani. If what she's saying is a lie, she's still a married woman. She's an Eshes Ish. Every time she'll live with another man, she's doing a horrible Aveira. And that's the reason, says the Rosh, we believe her. Ask the Chassam Sofer, ask the Shalmei in the Dorim, The Gemara, Rav Hamnun and our Gemara was very clear in explaining why he trusts her. Ein isha miza b'fnei bala. Why does the Rosh come up with a new reason? Because by her saying this, she's really hurting herself if it's not true, because every time if she'll get married again, she's doing a terrible aveira. Why does the Rosh need to come up with a new reason? Rav Hamnuna gave us a reason. Says the Chassam Sofer, there's a very famous Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that the Chazakis, that the Gemara says, Ein Isha Me'iz B'fnei Bala, Ein Adam Me'iz B'fnei Bal Chayva, that the Gemara many times quotes these Chazakis, nowadays are no longer relevant. Because we live in a time where people have chutzpah in them, and maybe in those times, Ein Isha Me'iz B'fnei Bala, Ein Adam Me'iz B'fnei Bal Chayva, that all these Chazakis don't apply. And in fact, the Chassam Sofer uses this, concept to explain something. He says, when people go to a Din Torah, typically what does Beis Din try to do? Beis Din tries to make a pshara. They try to reach a compromise. The question is, why is Beis Din trying to reach a compromise? They should follow the Din. They should follow what the Torah requires. Why are they looking for a compromise? Says the Chassam Sofer. Because all of the Din Torahs are based on these various chazakas that we learn throughout Shas, that the Chassam Sofer just taught us. And he says it's really the Rosh that taught it to us. They no longer are relevant because of the change of behavior. So just like our behavior changed, everything had changed, and that's why we don't want to rely on the entire, we'd rather do a pshar. There's a tshuvas einig yontif. The einig yontif was asked the following shaila. Somebody gave his wife a get because he was assuming certain information. And then it turns out that it's erroneous information. What is the status of the get? Says the Einig Yontif, based on the Rosh that we just quoted, that even if a get was given based on erroneous information, the get is still a valid get. Because what did the Rosh just teach us, says the Einig Yontif? We have a woman who tells her husband, Tmei Anilach. I had an adulterous relationship. He goes, based on that information, gives her a get. If it turns out that that information was wrong, and when you give a get based on wrong information, the get becomes null and void, so then why would a woman say it? She's going to be an Eishes Ish. Says the Einig Yontif, from here we see, that even though the husband gave the get, and maybe it was based on misinformation, the get is a get. The Noi de Behuda disagrees with the Einig Yontif. Noi de Behuda says that when a woman... get this case of Al Gemara, when the woman says Tmei Anilach, she doesn't expect that the husband will ever find out that she lied, and that's why she's comfortable that the get will remain a get. But it could well be, says the Noi de Behuda, that if a get was given based on erroneous information, when that becomes evident to the husband, the get becomes null and void. That is why the Paiskim, starting with the Noi de Behuda, and this is the minute, we should never know from such a thing, when a get is given, the Beis Din makes sure that when the husband gives the wife a get, he says, no strings attached. Not based on any information. Because if he's giving the get based on information, that information turns out to be incorrect, we could end up with a question that she's an Eishes Ish. She got remarried. She already had children. There'll be shilos of mamzerim. So we Beis Din make sure that the husband says, I'm giving the get under all circumstances. Says the Gemara. Ha'uetis of the kol yoyim of the kashmish. There was a woman that every time she had relations with a husband, Mekadma mashi yadi legavra, would wash her husband's hands. Pash pshat in the Gemara is that the morning before he got out of bed, she would wash his hands. Others explain that the halach is that after a man has relations with his wife, he's supposed to wash his hands. So this wife, every time after they had relations, would bring water to her husband that he could wash his hands. Yom echad, as yalei mayil mamisha. One day the wife is bringing the husband water to wash his hands. We didn't have relations. Why are you bringing me water? She says, somebody had relations with me. If it wasn't you, it must have been one of the goyim who were in the house, who were perfume merchants, who were in our home. And if you didn't have relations with me, perhaps it was one of them. Says Duran, and most Rishonim, that Al Gemara must be referring to an Eishes Kohen, because this was Ba'aynis. So even if it's true that she had relations with that man, But Watson, we learned on Amud Aleph, when a woman who's married to a Yisrael has relations with another man, she doesn't become Aser. It must be that she was an Ishus Kayin, and even if she didn't do it willingly, she's still Aser to her husband. Says the Chasam Sofer, he has a way of explaining the Gemara that it's even by an Ishus Yisrael. He says, the Gemara says, how could a blind person have relations with his wife? He can't see. He doesn't know it's his wife. So the halacha is that he relies on tefiyas aina de kala. He speaks to his wife before they have relations, and he recognizes her voice, and that's why he could have relations with her. Says the Chasam Sofer, every husband and wife have the obligation to ascertain, if they don't know for sure that they're having relations with each other, that this is truly my husband, this is truly my wife. And if she didn't do that, she's also to her husband, even if she's an Eishes Yisrael. And that's the case of the Gemara, says the Chasam Sofer. Rav Nachman, we don't have to be worried. This whole thing is a ploy. She brought the water to her husband, that the husband should come accuse her that she had relations with another man. Like that, he'll divorce her, and she could get married to the man she wants to. The last woman, Mashash Mila, and we don't pay attention to what she said. Because our Mishnah Torah, we don't trust the women then. The Mishnah Torah says, we don't trust the woman to say that. Maybe this case, it's not so explicit. Says the Gemara, another case. Hahiyat is very similar. There was a woman in a bad mood. So the husband asks his wife, why are you in a bad mood? I never found having relations with you so painful, like when you had relations with me last night. She said, nothing ever happened. I never had relations with you. She said, somebody had relations with me, and if it wasn't you, there were goyim who sold neft in our home last night. And if you didn't have relations with me, Dilma Chadman Han Hava. Maybe it was one of them. Again, Amalur Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman, Lo Tashkin Nebicha. We don't have to pay attention to what she says, because Nosnei Nebe Achahava, she only said it as a ploy to get out of a marriage. So the obvious question is, why does the Gemara have to say two stories to make the same point? So Farshim say, Gevaldige Pshat. The first story, she initiated. She brought water to her husband that she should normally not have brought unless they had relations. There's a good reason to believe that she started this whole ploy just to get him to accuse her that she had relations with someone else. Here, she didn't initiate anything. He asked her, why are you in a bad mood? So here, since she didn't initiate anything, shouldn't this be a raya that what she's saying is true? Still, says the Gemara, she purposely put on this show that she's in a bad mood, knowing that the husband will ask the question and then give the answer that she was prepared to give, or to try to get out of the marriage. Says the Gemara, Hu gavra dava mahazik bebeise hu veintese. There was a man that was secluded with a woman in a home. All osamera bebeise, the husband comes home, paten noyef lehutza, the person who was the noyef, who perhaps was the adulterer, broke through the palm gate that was around their house for Arik. And he ran away. And now the question is, isn't this a proof that she'd had an adulterous relationship? Amarava, it is a sharia. We don't have to be concerned that it was an adulterous relationship here. Because the Emi Isa the Avedis Surah, if this man had done something inappropriate with this married woman, Ichasu have a marchus. He would have hidden. The fact that he ran away and did not hide is a proof that he didn't do anything. Says the Gemara, Hahu noyif, the all lagabe that he intersaw. There was a noyif that came to the home of a woman. Asa gavra, and the husband comes home. Solok noyif, and the noyif goes, Nasif isiv b'kaloi baba. He sat behind the door. Have a machsin tachli taman. There was a vegetable. Tachlin is cress. It's a type of vegetable that was on the floor. But te'imnin chivya. And snakes were eating from that vegetable. bar mara de besa l'mechum mahana tachle, and the owner and the husband wanted to eat those vegetables. V'loy data de intesa, without checking with his wife. So Mefarshim asks, what does the Gemara have to tell us that was without the wife's knowing? Say the Mefarshim, that if the wife knew that there's poison in the snake, and she sees that her husband eats from the snake, from that vegetable, and she doesn't stop him, even though we're learning now already for 2 days that a wife is not believed to say that she's tamei, sometimes there are certain situations that prove to us that she had a relationship and that she's usur. If a wife sees her husband going to eat something poisonous and doesn't stop him, it's a proof that she did something wrong, and that's why she doesn't care if he eats it. And in fact, I saw two tshuvas along the same line. The Shchavis Yar has a tshuva where there was a woman who was very, very ill, and they thought that she was about to pass away. And as she's laying on a deathbed, she says vidui. And in the vidui, she says, I had an adulterous relationship. And then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps, and she has a refuah shleima. Says the Chavis Yar, she can't go back to her husband. Because at that point, nobody's lying. And if she said it then, it must be true. And there's interesting Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was asked the Shaila, where there was a Shaychit, who was also laying on his deathbed. And as he was saying vidui, he admitted that many times he had not shechted properly, and he had served Nevelus for Trefus. Klai Yisrael ate Nevelus for Trefus because of him. And then he dies. The question is, do the pots and pans and dishes have to be kashered? Because here, do we believe what he said? Says the Chassam Sofer, you have to kasher the pots and pans. Because we have, why would the person lie at that point? And we believe what he said, and you have to kasher the kelim. So here, she didn't say anything. But the man, the noyif, seeing the husband about to eat these vegetables, omlehu noyif, letech lemehain, don't eat them. The tim chavya, a snake ate from them. Amarava, into Sasharia. This woman is certainly mutter to stay with her husband. Because in the east of the Avad Asura, if he was having an adulterous relationship with his wife, Nichle de Lech of Alamas, he would be happy to see the husband die, and he could marry her. The Ksiv, Kinofu Vedam Biyadeim. They do adultery, and then they kill. So Mefarshim asks, the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, that just because somebody is an adulterer doesn't mean that he is a murderer and he's kosher for edus. So why is Al Gemara assuming that just because he did adultery, he's ready to kill people? So Mefarshim answer two terutzim. Here, he wasn't going to kill somebody. He just didn't have to tell him there's poison there. Why do he have to open his mouth? It's a proof that he didn't do anything wrong. Or they say, we don't have to accuse an adulterer that he's a murderer. Of an average person, just because somebody does adultery, he's not going to go necessarily murder somebody in the street. But here we're not talking about just anybody in the street. We're talking about the husband. For the husband, we have to be concerned that he would kill. And here the fact that he was ready to save the husband is a proof that he didn't do anything wrong. It says in Rav Pshita, it's obvious that he didn't do anything. Otherwise, he would let the man die. Maritame Isura of it. Maybe he did do an Issa with the woman. V'hai the Amalei. So why is he saving him? The nichle de lelemes bal. He's happy that the husband should die. He'd prefer to have relations with the wife when she's a married woman. The pasuk says in Meshle, stolen water is sweeter. For lechem starim yinoim, that a person wants stolen things. So he dafka wants to do the aveira when it's usur. It brings more of a geschmack. That we don't, a person wants to do the Avera, it doesn't want to do it in a surreptitious way. Says the Chassam Sofer, why is Maim Genovim Yimtaku? Says the Chassam Sofer, the reason Maim Genovim Yimtaku is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beroif Chachmasai created the world that everything that's available, the Isser, that everything that's Osser is also available by Heter. A person's not allowed to have relations with a married woman, he can have relations with his wife. So if all things are equal, why would a person do an Aveira and have relations with a married woman when he could have relations with his wife? So how does the Yetzirah operate? Maim Genovim Yutaku. He says that one, the Aveira, is better than the non-Aveira. And that's how the Yetzer Hara is able to prevail over us. And the Mefarshim say, this problem of Mayim Genovim Yimtaku is not a new problem. Mayim Genovim Yimtaku goes back to Chava. Chava had a whole Gan Eden with all the fruits in the world. And she only needed to take the apple from the Eitz Hadas. She has so many other trees, because that was the tree that you're not allowed to take from. So it's Mayim Genovim. The Chasam Sofer says, we finish Baruch Shem, another Masechta Daf Yomi, the Chasam Sofer says a beautiful word, Mayim Genovim Yimtaku. He says, all of us are very busy. All of us are very busy. Everybody has jobs and family and all sorts of obligations. And to learn Torah, we need to steal time. We have to chap around to find the time to learn, to go to a shir, to listen to a shir. But tells us the pasuk that we know the Torah, ein mayim elon Torah. Mayim. If somebody learns Torah genuvim, he steals the time. He doesn't have time, but he makes the time. He squeezes himself. Tells us the pasuk Yimtaku. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, the Navi tells us, Yimtaku, at the end, we will be rewarded with tremendous sweetness, with tremendous geschmack for doing this Mayim Genuvim, for finding the minutes to learn our Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And as we finish the Masechta Nedarim Baruch Hashem, we learned 90 Blat, and we learned all about Nedarim, and we learned the power of speech. And we learned the power of proper speech and what improper speech, what nedarim shvuas mean. The pasuk says, "Lo yachal dvaroi kechol ayoytz mipiv yasa." Lo yachal dvaroi, says the Avodas Yisrael. If a person is careful, lo yachal dvaroi, not to desecrate what he says. And Baruch Hashem, I hope we now are in that category. We're in the category that we learned what speech is all about, and how to be careful what not to say, and how to say what you're supposed to say. Tells us the Torah, lo yachal dvaroi, if we will be people who will not desecrate our word, kechol hayoytz mipiv yasa, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to kol hayoytz mipiv, everything that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that we need, and everything that we pray for, kechol hayoytz mipiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shemimala, kom shalis libeinu, the call you throw a taiva. Hanu lach fe'elim darim, the sleek lach mesechnim darim.